They're playing tonight. Also, Snow Camp money is due today at church or tonight at youth group, right? Okay, got them. That's those announcements. Got a blessing today. One of the cool things that we've been able to have here just recently that God's moved on the hearts of some men to start is a great ministry by the name of Fight Club. And they ran their first session here and it went very well, and they're going to be starting up another session. But I think one of the things that is so promoting to this ministry is how the Holy Spirit uses it in men's lives. And today we got a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, Chad Campbell, is going to come up and he's going to share with us what his experience with Fight Club. I mean, he's already been in my office this morning edifying me and just lifting me up the way he's so good at. But he's going to come up and share. And after that, we have another guest. So come on up, Chad.
Good morning. Yeah, no. Martha already. It's uncharted territory for me up here. So just want to talk about Fight Club. Okay, give you guys an overview of it. It's not, hey, we're getting in a ring, we're going to throw punches at each other. It's not what it is, guys. What I thought it was, maybe, the first couple of years, Shane was talking about it up here, but that's not what it is. Just to date back a little bit, 16 years ago, I recommitted my life to God at a men's retreat. Over those 16 years, we kind of get into a mundane rut, and we just everyday life, you know, married, I got 2 kids now, going to work, making a career. Am I talking into this thing enough? Okay. We kind of, all right, we're doing everything that we think is right, but we're giving God the crumbs of life. And that's not what we should be giving. And that's not growing our walk with Jesus. And I would be like you guys sitting there. On a Sunday morning, Shane would be up here giving his Fight Club, hey, we're going to start a rally this week. Come on out, guys. We want you to come. That's not for me. I'm not going to do that. My pride was too much to allow myself to get to that point of saying, yeah, I need that. I need Fight Club. Well, last September, I kind of the Lord broke me and said, yeah, you do need it. First weekend, I don't want to do this. What am I doing? This isn't for me. I have no time for this. I got so many things going on. And I had a love-dislike relationship with this. I felt like it was drawing time away from my family, my kids, my wife, the Fight Club, work, everything else was getting before that. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong, Lord? It wasn't until I realized I needed to put my priorities right. And when we align ourselves with God and allow Him to have our first time in the morning, and that's what I was slipping to do. You know, I get up early for work. So all my time with God was in the evening. Wrong. Need to be listening to it on the way into work, getting edified and filled up. And so that was one thing that I changed. And just, I used it to grow deeper with my walk with my wife. We'd go on walks together. You know, when we first got married, we'd be having devotions together. And slowly after time, that stuff, you know, we might do it 3 or 4 times a week. But it wasn't enough. We need to do it every day of the week to edify it and build each other up. And the same thing with our kids. We need to be in our kids' lives. We need to be knowing what's going on, you know, checking in with them. Seeing, and I got closer to my kids, going for walks and playing games, going out to dinner. Just a few things that Fight Club has allowed us to grow as a family. And that's where we really need to be digging deeper, is going to battle for our families. We need to, I don't know, kind of got off topic, but this Friday, guys, the rally's this Friday. Come out, have a good time. I sat there and said I wasn't going to come at 11 o'clock or 11:30 the past chapter, and the Lord worked, and I was there. So went through it, and it was great. And I'd like to see everybody there that can make it this week. All right? Thank you.
What time is that kickoff, Josh?
That's PM, right?
It's what?
$11:59, okay. Yeah, it's okay. Oh, I understand now. It's sinking in. All right, so that's Friday. Oh, Shane's got something to say. Yeah, right. It's only one time. Yeah. Yeah, one B shift, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Great ministry. So we have another blessing today. Pasha's here with us, and he's going to come up and share briefly out of the Psalms. Come on up, Pasha. Many of you know Pasha. Many of you have heard him speak here before, but this guy is... he's an extreme blessing. He really is. He's a like-minded brother. He is a fellow soldier in the battle for men's souls. He has endured a lot. He has persevered through a lot. And God uses him throughout the world. He's actually leaving from here. We'll be going to Guatemala to teach at the Bible College there at Calvary Guatemala, doing the back book of Acts. Has a church in Vladimir, Russia that he's ministering to, but he goes to several different countries. So I'm very thankful because, you know, we live in a day where, unfortunately, you know, a lot of things that you hear going on inside of the church is men and churches defecting from the Word of God and ministries full of compromise. But this guy's holding the line for Jesus Christ, and he's preaching a true gospel, and he's laboring for men's souls. So he's a wonderful brother, and I'm very thankful for him.
How are you, brother?
Good morning. My name is Pasha. I'm from Russia. Not everybody goes there. But I was born there. So, and it's a great pleasure for me. A lot of times on Sunday, I think it's the last one. You know, there's always this spiritual battle, and I'm going to just read this last passage, and this will be it. The end of the world may come. For he sees that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thoughts is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Some of the richest people in the world, they're buying mountains in New Zealand, and they're building caves, they're building homes inside those mountains, and they bring their stuff, and this is how they try to save themselves in the future. I don't have this kind of money, so I don't have a chance. So, but they're trying to save. And the book of Revelation, if you remember that, people will be hiding in the caves and praying to the rocks to hide them from the one sitting on the throne. They'll be throwing their idols, their gold and silver, and just hopeless. They cannot save themselves. It's foolishness, because they will be like the beasts dying and giving up their soul, and then they're standing at the judgment of the holy God. Like sheep, they're laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. Or they would say, en la mañana, in Spanish, right? You're not interested. It's okay. I'm going to Guatemala, so I'm practicing. We'll be teaching the same things, the Bible. And this is the truth. The righteous shall be waking up to a new day to live eternally. And then the wicked will be eaten by death. And it's Bible warns about this. And the God of the Bible, he doesn't want us to go that way. He offers salvation. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. That's the end of verse 14. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of the house of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. So I wasn't planning on finishing it. I was just going to say that 2020, I had a lot of plans with our church to go on mission, to participate in conferences, retreats. A lot of this was set off and almost canceled. But what we do? What does the righteous do? We pray. So almost all of the plans were fulfilled later on. But God, when he opens the door, he opens the door. And he just leads his people, whether it's nice outside or it's dark. So I'm here to testify that God's plans are fulfilling. Even in a simple guy's life like this one, I didn't have anything going for me. But God raised me from this stupid life, resurrected me, and is using me in all kinds of places, not because I'm anything special, but because he has a plan. He said the gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end shall come. So this is my testimony and my encouragement to you to continue on praying and be God's people with open faces. This is how we go. We shine the light. Our smiles do a lot to people. So unless you get shot at, try to shine the light. This is a joke. I don't know how you're going to do it practically. You have a good pastor. He's going to instruct you. May the Lord bless you.
Okay, let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. You know, Lord, we just thank you that it's evident to us this morning, as we've heard 2 months' hearts, that you are a living God that looks to do a living work within the lives of your people. And we pray, Father, that you would pull any of us out of the ruts that we might be in. God, that you would take us really to greater places of personal surrender, of congregational surrender, Lord, where we would just find ourselves truly embracing your word to deeper places of our hearts. We thank you that we get to gaze into the future, Lord, into the truths that you have set before us, that we might be able to really receive great encouragement and great hope
for the wonderful things that lie ahead for your people. Lord, we look at this world, it's very discouraging, but we look at the world to come, Lord, and we cannot wait. So we pray, Father, that you would use today as part of what needs to happen in our lives so that we could really allow ourselves to become the people that you've called each of us to be. We bless you, Lord, that you have seen fit to enter into us, to take up residence inside of us, to make us a partaker of your divine nature, that we would be vessels of honor, Lord, that we would be the light of the world, that we would be the salt of the earth. And Father, we recognize when we yield to your Spirit, when we yield to Him working your Word into our lives, you can do above and beyond all we could think or imagine in us and through us. So help us to embrace that truth today. Oh Lord Jesus, that we would decrease, that you would increase. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Revelation 21. You know, when we saw at the second coming of Christ, it moved right into Satan being incarcerated in the abyss, 1,000 years of Christ ruling and reigning on the earth with us ruling and reigning alongside of him. We see the revolt of the devil, how he seduces the nations, the natural people who he does deceive, and many of them rebel with him, how they are consumed, how there is just this great fire that comes down and really heaven and earth, they flee away. And then this great white throne judgment. I think for us as God's people, I think, and I don't know if I'll get to this today because I don't know how far I'm going to get today, but I think it's very important that we take the truths of Scripture into our lives. That we don't leave them here in the book. We don't leave them here at church. You don't leave them in your favorite chair where you do your devotions. But we carry these divine truths into the lives that we live. Very important. Verse 21, I want you to recognize that obviously we live on earth. The Bible references heaven. There's three heavens. The Bible references, there's the atmospheric heaven where the birds fly. There's the terrestrial heavens where our planets are. And then there's the celestial heaven, man. That is the abode of God. And so when we look at Revelation chapter 21, I think one of the things that we need to recognize is that this is really a vision of our final and forever eternal home, which is comprised of three brand new things. Three brand new things that we get to experience, okay? Anybody feel like, man, I could use something new in my life? Well, it's coming. It's coming. Trust me, it is coming. So, going through Revelation 21 and 22, I found that it has encouraged and really lifted my spirits. It gives me anticipation, but this is unlike anything we've ever seen before or ever experienced before. So basically, the eyes that God has given you and I at this current time is limited to what He has yet to show us. Okay, same with the ears. Limited by what we are going to hear from Him. Our minds are limited at this point of the thoughts that He is going to unload into our minds, and our hearts are limited over the great experiences that He wants us to have. So we live limited, okay? We have fullness in Christ. We have abundance in Christ. We recognize that. But because we're in these limited containers here in this natural world, clothed in human flesh, what we need to recognize is that there is so much more above and beyond what we're experiencing today, even at its height and greatness. So when we look at this, I want you to consider this, okay? Paul says this, you don't have to turn there because of time. And I believe he was referencing himself over the persecution when he went to Lystra, preached the gospel. They stoned him, dragged him outside the city gate. He was dead. The apostles circled around them. I'm sure they prayed for him, and he rose up again. And I believe that he references that event because the timing is very close. In what he writes to us in 2 Corinthians 12, he says this, I knew a man, and I believe this is a reference about himself, but he didn't want to draw attention to himself. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether this was in the body, I can't tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. Only God knows. He says, such a one that was caught up to the third heaven. Okay, that's the celestial heaven. Okay, beyond the birds, beyond the planets, into the celestial abode of God. Okay, into the third heaven. And he said, and I knew such a man in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise. And that word paradise in the Greek is the pleasure garden, God's pleasure garden. This is where he went to. A valid near-death experience, okay? A valid near-death experience, not somebody that said, you know, I'm going to go back, I'm going to make a movie, write a book, and make a million. All right, this is something real. This is a biblical account here. He went to the pleasure garden of God, and this is what he said. I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, I want you to think about this. I really believe this is Paul referencing this experience he had when he died. And he didn't know whether his body went or whether he was out of the body when he went. But this is what he said. He goes, the time I was there, he goes, all I can tell you is this. I can't explain to you with the limiting of human words what I heard. He didn't even reference anything that he saw. He spoke about what he heard. And he said, it was so wonderfully unexplainable. It was wonderfully unexplainable. I've heard testimonies of people in a transition of leaving life and heading to heaven. And I'm talking about people who are born again Christians, because they're the only ones that can lay claim on the beautiful promises of heaven are people who are born again of the Holy Spirit. I've heard everything from the amazingness of the colors and the smells to the architecture. I spoke to someone recently who had one of these experiences and said, all I know is it was so amazing I did not want to come back. So we're getting a little bit of a preview to really what is actually even on the other side of that, okay? On the other side of that. After the great white throne judgment, Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, this is what... Now, all the scholars, you know, the brilliant people, they're debating on you know, well, is it actually brand new or is it actually, you know, a renovated earth that has been burned down and rebuilt? I believe truly that this is a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And the reason I believe that is because Isaiah tells us that, prophesies about this event. He says that I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former one will not be brought into your remembrance. So the word that you see there in the Hebrew is the word bara, and it literally means to create out of non-existing materials. It's the word that we see in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God barad the heavens and the earth. He created it out of nothing. So that's my own personal thought on it, and I don't think it really matters to a huge degree, but this is what I believe, that he creates again a new heaven and a new earth from non-existent materials, okay? But remember what Jesus said, because sometimes we emphasize the fact that we are told by Jesus that, but my word shall not pass away, and we hold on to that, and that's wonderful, but it's true, and it's very true. Obviously, they're his words, but prior to that, this is what he says, heaven and earth shall pass away. That's what Jesus said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know what that means? His words are more certain than the physical reality all around us, okay? The words of Jesus Christ are more certain than the physical reality that is all around us. But here is a challenge that goes to you and I based upon a truth that He spoke, looking at the fruition of that coming to pass in Revelation 21. Here's a challenge for us. Which one are we holding on to? Which one's holding on to us? I gotta be honest with you. This world system can sneak around our lives like an anaconda when we don't even know it. I have been extremely upset over the corruption and a wrong that has taken place in our country in the last 3 months, but you know what? That's going to pass away. These words endure forever. I don't hold on to the hope of a political party. I hold the hand of the one who gave me hope, Jesus. And I think we've got to be so careful, and I think as we shoot off the warning flares, we need to remember that unfortunately along the way, and especially in the days that we're living in, I've been talking to Pasha because just a fellow pastor and the things that he's experiencing, we're living in very dangerous spiritual days. The Bible talks a lot about the days in which we live in a church where people would be falling away. They'd be falling away. They would defect. People who used to believe this is true no longer care anything about it. And I think we got to be very careful because here's the bottom line. We got a guy in the Bible. He was a very fruitful servant for a season in his life. His name is Demas, okay? But he chose to go back for the temporal and the perishing, and he forsook God's calling upon his life because the Bible said, Paul said at the end of his life, Demas has forsaken me because he loved the present world. He forsook his eternal divine purpose because he let that world out there get its tentacles around him and pull him away from Jesus Christ. And that can happen in people's lives and they can be faithful going to church. Now as we look at this, you know, this is what Peter says. You know, he says, looking and hastening for the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens will be on fire, shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, and you know this, that a promise is only as good as the one who gave it. And you know, and what's so wonderful about God is I'm going to tell you something. There's something that I can tell you God can't do. According to Titus chapter 1, God cannot lie. So this promise that Peter writes about that we see in Revelation, it's as good as done. Matter of fact, in the eternal realm, it already is. We're just awaiting, in our time frame, the fullness of the experience. We, according to His promise, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You don't have to worry about the next executive order. Because the wrong orders aren't going to pass. The right ones are. Right in the eyes of God. Now, this is at the new heaven and the new earth. When we reign here with Christ for 1,000 years, that's the regenerated earth. Because in that time, still sin and death will be present. Okay, this one that we're looking at today, it's gone. And I think for us, as we look at Revelation 21 and as we get into Revelation 22, that the Apostle Paul exhorts us while we look not at the things that are seen. We're not looking at the things that are seen, okay? That doesn't have our heart focus. But at the things that are not seen, okay, this. The things that you have to walk by faith with, not by sight. The things that are not seen. For the things which are seen, they're temporal. But the things that are not seen, they are eternal. God wants to get us ready. And Paul's the one that wrote this. And if we live our lives that way, you can get ready because your fight has been fought. And you did good. Your course that was given is finished. And your faith has been kept. Because we're not looking at the temporal, we're not having heart focus on what's seen. We're focused on the eternal, and thus your reward is inevitable. Your reward is inevitable. Christians continually need to make heart and mind adjustments for the life of reward. He says there was no more sea. Okay, the sea's gone. The sea today that covers about 70% of the earth's surface, it's gone. No more straws and turtles' noses. Paradise. And I saw John, the apostle of love. I, John, the vessel of truth. He says this, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this chapter. He says, I saw a new Jerusalem, and it came down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the new Jerusalem. This is the glorious city. We'll look at the details of it next week, but if you will, turn to Hebrews 11 with me quickly. Because there's an individual in here that chose to live the way that Paul exhorted us to live, even though he was born thousands of years before Paul could even write that, because the Holy Spirit was already doing it in his life. His name's Abraham. And he chose to live for the things that are unseen, the eternal. Well, thinking about this new Jerusalem, look, we got Hebrews 11, right? By faith, Abraham, when he was called out unto a place that he should go for to receive an inheritance, he obeyed. That's how you make the hall of faith, you obey. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He heard God's voice. You know, he did it. He obeyed. That's why he's in the hall of faith. He became the father of the faith. He was also the friend of God. And he went out. He didn't know where he was going. Talk about faith. All right, Lord, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going. And by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise. But here it is, right? We're talking about the new Jerusalem. We're going to see the dimensions of that city next week. Because he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Like, go and prepare a place for you. This is the city he was focused on. And if you look here, it talks about him, you know, faith with Sarah. But in verse 13, he says that they died in faith, not having received the promises, but they saw them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. And this is what they confess, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, a pilgrim is somebody who's just traveling through, right? They're heading to their homeland. It doesn't say they were settlers. They were pilgrims. They were moving through. They had their eyes focused on another city. It went beyond the natural life. It went beyond the temporal life. It went beyond the only life that they have known, but they knew a different life because it was told by them to them by God, and that was the life that they chose to live for, the life that's laid out in the Bible. So they confess they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, for they that say such things declare plainly that they're seeking a country, okay? They're seeking a kingdom of God. And it says, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from where they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have yet returned, or literally in the Greek it means to bend back. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly where God is not ashamed to be their ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Okay, that was the one all the way back to the beginning of the faith when God chose Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees in the book of Genesis. Early on, He worked in this guy's life and He gave him a revelation from the beginning. I got a city prepared for you. And he didn't even have the glimpse that we get in Revelation 21 and 22. All he knows that if God said it and if God's creating it, that's the city I want to go to. That's the one I want to have my focus on. And because he kept his focus on the promises and the future that God had laid out for his life, he never went back to the old life. He never bent back. He never got thinking about going back to the old life, because the new life that he had with the living God was far more valuable. And the end of it was beyond his wildest expectations. So we see this here with Abraham had a vision, a view, a reality. Whether God had showed him at all or just spoke it to his heart, that there was a city, an eternal city that God was making. Its builder and foundation was God. And that was the one he chose to live for. He saw himself as a pilgrim. Is that the way we see ourselves? Because, you know, I've had the opportunity to do missions. I've seen some beautiful cities. I've been to Havana, Cuba. I've been to Antigua, Guatemala. I've been to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And Gonaive. And then there's another one, whatever, I forgot it. But I've seen these beautiful, beautiful cities. And, you know, the one thing that's in common when I go to these places and get to see these things that not everybody gets to see is that I'm there on a visa. I am there on a visa. I'm there for a temporal period of time in a land that is not my home. You and I are here for a temporal period of time. James says it's a vapor. In a land that is not designed to be our home. We have to take an honest assessment of ourselves to see how deep our roots are, because the only place our roots should be deep in this life is in Christ. Rooted and grounded in Christ. Everything else, when God says it's time to go, it shouldn't shake life too much because we're ready to go. A new Jerusalem. John got to see this. Coming down out of heaven is a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God." Okay, the dwelling. Remember the tabernacle? That was the place that housed the very presence of God where they would worship. That the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. How many of us have just said, "Jesus, just show up in this room. Talk to me. Encourage me. I want to hear You. I want to see You. I want to feel You. I need something tangible from You." But we don't get it in the physical realm. We get it in the spiritual realm on this side of eternity. But in the future, as Horatio Spafford wrote it in his song, It is well with my soul, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. Everything we've trusted, everything that we've believed, we will be living in its physical manifestation beyond our comprehension, beyond our ability to even get our minds around it. Like Paul said, I can't even explain in these mere limited human words things that I heard in the pleasure garden of God. I look at these things, I get homesick. How about you? Sign me up. I'm ready to go. That doesn't mean that I'm not thankful for this life. I am. I try to live it to the fullest. The treasures of my life are Jesus Christ and you. Everything else is fool's gold. The only thing that leaves this earth forever is the Word of God that's eternal and a human soul that's eternal. So we will have the tabernacle of God with us. He will be dwelling with us. Hey, I bumped into Jesus today. That's going to be some good stuff. And what's going to be amazing too is that even at this time we will see that Jesus Christ, when He came here in His earthly ministry, He was harnessed in humanity. Okay? He took on, right? He came, the Word dwelt among us. He took on flesh. He dwelt among us, John chapter 1. But He was harnessed in humanity. But at this time, we'll be in all of His glory. It's going to be in all of His glory. Why did He harness Himself in humanity? Why? Because you need to know this about Jesus. He understands. Okay? Whatever you're going through, maybe nobody else understands. I'll guarantee you there's one person who understands. And that's why He took on human flesh. That's why He chose to put on the limitations of humanity so that He could identify, so that He could associate with all of our weaknesses, so that we can never come to Him and say, "You don't understand." Because He can say, "I was one of you. I do understand everything." New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, only prepared for new creations in Christ. The important thing is, you know, we've had a lot of new people here since COVID, you know, thank God. A lot of new people have been coming since COVID's happened, and I'm very thankful for that. But if you're here today, you know, and there's really never been a time in your life where you know that it was that moment. Maybe you were young, maybe you were older, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you had this moment where you really, your heart came to the understanding that the sin in my life has divided me from a holy God and I can't fix it. And that relationship is fractured, it's broken. But God sent the cure, and the cure was His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, and at the end of His life, His earthly ministry, He proclaimed, "It is finished." Paid in full, to tell us that. Paid in full. That the blood of Christ, the dead body of Christ on a cross, was a receipt that you have the opportunity to have all your sins paid for, past, present, and future, and to have a position of forgiveness eternally with God Almighty. And He proclaimed Himself to be the way, the truth, and the life, and no one being able to come to the Father but through Him. So He proclaimed Himself as the way, singular, one way, denounced any other way. False religion, good works, morality, doesn't cut it. Only through Christ. Only through Christ. Harley taught on it this Thursday. Scripture that changed my life. "You will not inherit my kingdom," Jesus said, "unless you're born again." You've got to be born again of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you are here today. Maybe all of you in here are born again. I sure hope so, because I can't wait till we do this on the shores of glory. But if you're not, we plead with you for your soul's sake that you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ today and turn from your sin. Put your faith in Him. Make Him your Lord and Savior. Experience His forgiveness. Allow Him to unload His love into you. And it'll be the best decision you ever made in your life. Because you then will be able to be a citizen of this kingdom that we will be looking at for the next week or two. So, because of time, you can arise. We won't do the last song. I know that broke the routine, man. The sheep are like, "What?" We always do a last song. No, actually, that was a fresh revelation. Father, I just thank you for the lives of everybody that's here today. I'm thankful that we are doing what you've called us to do. We're called to assemble ourselves together, to open up the Word of God, to pray, to love one another, to let iron sharpen iron, to encourage one another, to set our focus on you, Lord, to worship you, to learn from you. Help us to yield our lives continually, Lord, to your word. Help us to take, as the days grow more serious, Lord, help us to take your days more serious, Lord, and really, Father, just to enjoy you more. Father, to really find ourselves just looking away from this world, the stresses, the pressures, everything that it lays on us, God. Give us the grace just to enjoy your Son. We bless you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you that you are worthy of our adoration, our honor, our worship. I pray for the week that lies ahead for each soul in this room, for your armor over all of us, Lord, your leading in our lives, and for the opportunities to sow the good news of Jesus into men's souls. We bless you and we thank you for this day, God. Thank you that you've made us a family. It's been your grace that you've adopted us into the household of faith. And we just want to tell you that we're very thankful. And as we look at what lies ahead, Lord, we can't wait. But we know that the church has a mission to do. So help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be prioritized by the things that are of your priority. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, come on up. If you don't know where you stand with God, we don't want you to leave here without knowing. So God bless you. Have a great day. Hey, Ken.